Hey, everybody. Welcome to Money and Change, because it's Sunday, believe it or not, and it's 7 p.m. And I hope your week goes well this next week, because it could get a little tense, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Before we get started on the Trim Radio Network, we've got to do a disclaimer. The information contained in this presented material is from the posting of news agencies on the internet and are not necessarily the views or opinions of the owners of this program. Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. You should always do your own research and consult with professionals. We are not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. I hope you guys set your clock back. Did you? I know I did, and I think I did mine in advance. But if you haven't, you better get it done, or you're going to be an hour ahead of time for any of your meetings, if you know what I mean. Well, anyhow, guys, welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network. And we have a lot of stuff to talk about tonight and a lot of observations that I've made too during the week. Well, anyhow, guys, as you know, the Trim Radio Network, you can check us out because we've got a lot of different programs. We've got Adventures Awaits Around the Bend. We've got Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck. We've got Life Walk with Christ God. We've got Money and Change, of course, every Sunday night at 7 p.m. We've got Offsides, College Football Top 25. We've got the Take Point 22 radio show with Michael Bejas. We have My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever on Wednesdays, and that is live at 8 p.m. And we have Victoria Smith's Natural Marketer Podcast. We also have the Positude Podcast. And that's an interesting boy. I saw that one. I really like it. It's got a lot of stuff in there. And you'll like it too. So you want to check it out. And also we've got Rescala's Red Pill Reality Show. You know, you can give me the red pill or the blue pill. I keep telling Rescala, I want the green pill and we haven't found it yet. Maybe it's a naturopathic pill or something. I don't know. But anyhow, check Rescala's show out. The Red Pill Reality Show does an excellent job. I mean, all of our guys do a really good job. And if you want to do your own show too, all you have to do is find that little message box up here that says, hi there, thanks for visiting Trim Radio Network. How can I help you today? And all you have to do is just click on that. And when you do that, have a question, enter your question below, put your name down, the phone where we can get a hold of you, and your message. You can also include your email in that message and click the send button, and somebody will be in touch with you very quickly. And if you want to do your own show, very easy to do. Just fill out this form, send it to us, and we'll get in touch with you and tell you exactly what you need to have and try to get you scheduled, okay? And we use StreamYard, and a lot of different people use StreamYard. It's fairly easy to do. Of course, I wish it had more easy buttons, but it doesn't. But it's a good program. So anyhow, you can go ahead and contact us that way. Now, to support the show, you can either advertise like Laser Technologies International, or you can go ahead and contribute and donate money to keep the shows on the air, or you can buy the merch, the merchandise. All you have to do is click the Shop Now button, and guess what? We tell you how much it is for airtime, okay? And we can tell you what the spot airtime is. We can tell you that there are Red Pill Reality Show New Blend hooded sweatshirts. Yeah. And cups. And then we've also got mouse pads. We've got Cut the Bull custom pin buttons. And we've got VIP membership. You really want to help out, join that VIP membership and donate. Also, we've got the Trim Radio Network Men's New Blend hooded sweatshirt. We've got all kinds of stuff, okay? And it gets updated every week. Okay, so you want to check us out. Also, you know, you can watch us live. You can watch us on Facebook, Instagram. You can take a look at us on something called YouTube or X. Yeah, it's there. All you have to do is listen to us live or listen to us in the archives. Okay, so check us out, Trim Radio Network. Tell your friends about us. Okay, and this show, believe it or not, I have listeners in India, Myanmar, which used to be called Burma, and then South Africa, and elsewhere in that region. Also, I've got people in North and South America. I've got people listening in Canada. And I just don't have anybody listening in Iceland. Okay, so if you're in Iceland, hey, send us an email, let us know, okay? Well, we've got all that going on, but we have other stuff we need to do. If you take a look at us on Facebook, okay? The Facebook page that I set up and what I do with the Facebook page is a lot of information is posted there. And just for example, you take a look at everything and you look at your screen now. You know, we've got 147 members, and they're from all over the world, and a great group of people, okay? A great following. And if you take a look at Money and Change / Financially Prepped, and you should be able to see it on the screen, I always put something there before the show. And tonight was no different. Lisa Sutton was talking about winter pantry essentials, because now it's getting cold up here in the northern hemisphere, and things are starting to cool down. Eventually, it's going to get really cold. She lives up in Michigan, okay? They have more snow than Ohio for the most part, and it gets colder up there. And she talks about prepping and winter pantry essentials, what you really need for soups and stews and all kinds of stuff. And she's got the top 15 winter foods to store for cold weather comfort. Okay. Also, Dave Kobler came out with a new one, Boots on the Ground, for November 3rd. And that's military making it easier to draft more people. He also talks about the economy. Okay. Just not the military. So you want to listen to him. Also, oh, yes, D.R. Horton. Stock sinks on fourth quarter earnings and revenue miss. Gee, they were going to do a development where I live, and they were going to put in supposedly 200 homes and 140 or maybe 170 apartments, condominiums. And I don't know if that's on hold or what, but that's just today from Yahoo. And so you want to check that out. Also, we've got money-saving habits. Do you have financial stress? I mean, who doesn't have financial stress? Everybody has financial stress at one time or another. I mean, we're not Bill Gates. We're not Warren Buffett, okay? And we all have financial stress one time or another. Everybody's got bills to pay. You know, even I have bills to pay. And a lot of things, you know, are going on, and you have to make the most of what money you have. And that's why we have this show. And so you can take a look at Money Saving Habits. That's also there. And that's five tips. Five questions to ask your financial advisor before the year's end. If you don't have one, and you need one, get one, because there are five questions that might be able to save you some money. Okay, I'm not a financial advisor, but I find the articles that point to the questions you need to ask. Okay, and so that can happen. Also, we have Medicare open enrollment, what you should know for 2025. Are you getting that stuff in the mail? I know I am, and I love my provider. I've been with them for many years, and they've been great. But I'm also getting things from everybody else and saying we have better services than the other guy and so forth. And then what happens usually is you go ahead and you switch, and then you find out, oh, gee, I didn't know my doctor doesn't take that insurance. Oh, that hospital doesn't take the insurance. Oh, you mean they don't have dental insurance too? Oh, how about pharmacy? Oh my goodness. Things to consider, okay? It's Medicare open season, as I like to call it. And from now, I believe up until December 7th, you have to make a choice if you're over 65. And you better do your homework, okay? That's all I'm going to tell you. Do your homework. And you notice I had John Travolta, where's the money? Okay. Yeah. If you don't start working on money, okay, and saving change and all kinds of stuff, something could happen. And it could happen as soon as maybe November 5th, November 6th, November 7th. We don't know. But something could happen. Okay. So that's why you want to check us out. Check us out on Money and Change / Financially Prep. There are a lot of videos there. Okay. Wow. Other things we need to talk about too. You know, I do have some people that I like to do shout outs. And, oh, what did I do? I don't want to leave. I hit the wrong button again. Gee whiz. Anyhow, guys, I've got some people that I have to give shout outs. I just have some new pictures of some of Phil's Rusty Duck custom pens and blanks. Okay. And I'm going to post those on the Facebook page. And sometime in the next couple of weeks, I'll be able to put them here on the show and just give you an idea of what he does, because it's fantastic work. It really is. A big shout out to the Trim Radio Network for carrying the show. And like I said, we've got some really good presenters and we have a good time. A big shout out to the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. It's a division NAACP. No, it isn't. I was going to say NAACP. No, it's NCAA. Get it right. It's been one of those days, guys. And I'll tell you what, the University of Findlay is a good school. They've got three campuses, and it's the hazardous materials campus in Findlay, also the main campus in Findlay for their bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. And also there is the equestrian facility for pre-veterinary. Okay. Now, there was a rumor during the summer that the University of Bluffton has merged with the University of Findlay, and that's true. So you could actually take classes at either campus. And the University of Bluffton is about 20 miles away. Good school. I've been there. It's a nice place. Bluffton is a nice town. And right on I-75. And, of course, Findlay's on I-75 at Route 224, okay, in Findlay, Ohio. And Findlay is a, gee whiz, it's called the Flag City, but it's also an American city. I mean, it's really a nice place. It's an all-American place. You have to check it out, okay? And they do have some international students there at the University of Findlay, as well as, I believe, the University of Bluffton. So you want to check out the schools, okay? And just remember, it's www.findlay.edu. And of course, we have Rusty Duck's custom pens and blanks, and we'll be bringing those pictures to you here this next week. We've also got a shout out to, guess what? Big Family Homestead with Brad and Krista out in Wisconsin. And Danny and Wanda King are now doing Pecan Grove. And it's interesting to see what they're going to do at Pecan Grove, because it's a little bit different than when they had the Deep South Homestead. Also, check out Southern Prepper One with Dave Kogler. He has some really good information. And then we also have Amber Stork, Prepper Princess. You have to check her out. Also, Patriot Nurse. I think I put something maybe it was on my page, about what happens if medicines aren't available and you have to start using herbs. Okay. And she's a nurse. And she knows a lot about nursing. So check out Rachel at Patriot Nurse. And then we have LDS Prepper. Okay, I got to talk about what Dave Gilmore did. Remember, I keep telling you about the GMRS radios. In case of an emergency, your family can contact everybody in your family that lives close. Okay, a license is $35 for 10 years. And the whole family could use your license. It's your immediate family, okay? So these little radios are good. They're not bubble packs that you get at Wally World. This is an Ouxun, Ouxun 935G Plus with a Nagoya 771G antenna. And with this unit, I can talk to a repeater in Dayton, Ohio, and I can get out an additional 90 miles, okay? Good radios to have in an emergency, because when the phones don't work and you're not a ham operator, these GMRSs come in handy, okay? Thank you, Dave Gilmore. All right, that's all the big shout-outs. We've got a lot to go into. We do. Let's take a look, for example, here. I want to bring this up on the screen because we're getting deeper in debt, guys. We are. And it's getting scary. Let's take a look at the national debt clock in real time. Oh, there's a secret window. I'm going to close that window if they let me. There we go. If you take a look, we have the national debt is $35,968,838,000,000 and climbing. Probably by tonight, it's going to be $36 trillion in debt. Why? Because the government likes to spend our money. Let's face it. They're spending our money like a drunken sailor. Only a drunken sailor knows when to quit because they're running out of money. The government just keeps printing money out of thin air, which means we have inflation because of it. Okay? The debt per citizen is $106,526. Okay. And the debt per taxpayer is $272,820. I didn't know I was that deep in debt. Did you? How about your grandkids? That's getting a little scary. The income tax revenue we're getting in is about $5,022,149,000,000 and climbing, almost $150 million. And the revenue per citizen they're getting is about $14,952. This is real time, and you can see it roll by. Okay. There's a lot of data in here. It talks about the population, the workforce, official unemployed. Okay. Actual unemployed. Why is it official is 6,881,000 and the actual unemployed is 12,469,000. I always wondered about that. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Well, just go to the usdebtclock.org and check it out. And remember, over here, there's a close secret window. Yeah, because if you don't close that secret window, you don't see all of this. Okay. usdebtclock.org, you want to check it out. Wow, stuff that we need to get into. You know, this week, let's face it, there was a notification that the local election board was going to be shutting down walk-ins as of today and Monday, and you couldn't do any pre-voting balloting. In other words, you have to wait until Tuesday, and it's going to be a very important election. Let's face it. I mean, do you want another 4 years of the mess we're in, or do you want to change things? That's up to you. I'm just encouraging everybody to go out and V-O-T-E, vote. vote your conscience. Don't let anybody try to sway you in any way whatsoever. And if something looks crooked, in other words, you print your ballot and you voted for Joe Schmo and Larry Ishkabibble comes up on it that you voted for him, report it right then and there, okay? And you want to make sure that you not only report it to the election official there, you want to report it to the local news, okay? Definitely. And it's important. Too many funny things happened the last election, and we don't want to have that happen this election. Everything should be fair and square, okay? Wow, so that's coming up on Tuesday. So make sure you vote. Make sure you've turned back your clock. I know I did. And I said I did it yesterday, and I did. So today was a breeze. Anyhow, guys, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about because, you know, a lot of people, investors and everybody, they're getting nervous. They're getting anxiety. You know, the movie that was High Anxiety with Mel Brooks? Well, I think a lot of people are getting high anxiety over what's going on. And there were different articles that were out there. And this one was Yahoo Finance. And they were talking about election anxiety grips emerging markets as investors slash risk. Oh, yeah. They don't know what to do. And a lot of people are saying, guess what? We're going to just get out of the markets and sit back and wait and see what happens and then reinvest. Okay. And so I looked at this article today and I thought, okay, that's basically the international people are looking at things. A lot of countries look at the way America goes and that determines how they want to go. Okay. And you can check out the story that's there. And what Bloomberg strategists say, you know, everything's export-driven, emerging markets, and except for China, and were relatively unscathed during Donald Trump's first term in the White House. Well, they're getting nervous now, okay? And currencies are going to change. You know, Mexican pesos, and that trades 24 hours a day in sizable volumes, okay? And they had an article here about J.P. Morgan Chase and Company strategist, Gisela Brandt and Tanya Escobedo Jacob predicted that the peso, which was over 20 to the dollar on Friday, could strengthen past 19 if Harris wins. On the flip side, they say it could go to 22. Per dollar. Okay. People are watching the election one way or another, whether or not it's the big corporations or it's going to be normal people like you and me. Okay. And they want to see what's going on. And what do you do with your money? A lot of people are saying, you know, well, what do you do with your money in an election season? Everybody, it's tossed up in the air. You don't know what to do. You know, I always tell people, pay down your debt. Put some money aside. Buy some long-term food. I don't care if it's canned food. I don't care if it's, well, frozen. Just make sure it stays frozen. Or freeze-dried. Okay, canned food, soups and so forth, vegetables, perfectly good. Make sure you're able to purify and store water. How much water do you have per person? You know, I always tell people at least a very, very minimum is 1 gallon per person a day. And now they're saying 2 gallons per person per day. How much do you have stored? What can you purify? Do you have bleach? Do you know how to use bleach to purify water? How about scented bleach? You're not supposed to use that. How about purification tablets? Do you have a Berkey water filter? Some people say they work. A Prepper Princess says, well, a Brita works just as good according to one study. Well, I've had a Berkey water filter system that takes out fluoride, and I love it. I've had it for probably 10 years. And it filters up to, I believe, 3,000 gallons. And 3,000 gallons for drinking water a year is something else. Okay, I don't even change mine every year. I clean the container out and the filters. I flush them and then put them back in. The fluoride filters I do have to change every year. And taking out the fluoride really works, okay? And I'm not a doctor, okay? I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express one night. But, you know, you got to have the proper clothing for the season. It's starting to get colder here. Do you have the blue tarps that you can get at Wally World? You put those on the house if you have a roof leak. You can actually turn them into a shelter. Having two or three of those available, plus maybe some clear Visqueen, okay, you can go to Home Depot or Lowe's or wherever and get that. It's a heavy-duty clear plastic. You need that because if you don't have that kind of stuff in an emergency and you don't have emergency food, water, your medications, vitamins, okay, you're in trouble. And with what's going on, like they keep talking about incessantly the last 3 weeks, as far as the elections, something could happen. And if it does, you better be prepared. Okay, I'm going to be point blank, very blunt. If you're not prepared, nobody's going to be able to help you. You're on your own. Now, maybe social agencies will be able to help you a little bit, but eventually that's going to run out. And if you can't save your own hide, if you know what I mean, you're in trouble, okay? Oh, how about Warren Buffett? Yeah, I want to talk about Warren Buffett. You know, the guy that likes dreamsicles? And what he does is he likes to just sit there and enjoy a dreamsicle and a popsicle, dreamsicle, whatever. And everybody's watching Buffett. You know, one of the things I learned this week watching different shows, you take a look at BlackRock, you take a look at Vanguard, and you watch Warren Buffett. And you watch what they do. Because they're involved with everything, especially BlackRock. I didn't know that BlackRock was involved in a lot of the different food companies. They own, I think, Yum International or whatever it's called. They're involved. They're heavily invested in a lot of different things that you wouldn't even think that they were invested in. Okay. And so you've got Vanguard, you've got BlackRock, and you've got Buffett. And what you need to do is watch what they do. Now, there was an article that popped up in Zero Hedge. It says, Buffett calls the top. Berkshire dumps 100 million Apple shares as unprecedented selling spree boosts cash to record $325 billion. So what are you going to do with $325 billion? You know, it's in cash. What cash? Where is he putting his money? Is he putting it in Bitcoin? Is he putting it in gold and silver? My bet is he's probably putting it in gold and silver and some other foreign currencies. Okay, I think he's going to dump the dollar. And Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, the BRICS countries, they had their meeting, and they're trying to find ways where they can trade for currencies. So if you want to buy Russian oil, you pay in rubles. If you're buying something Chinese, you pay in yuan. But how do you transfer that? They have to work that out. The biggest thing is digital money. okay? And then you convert the digital into gold if you want to hold it that way, okay? But that's the BRICS countries. And the U.S. could be in deep trouble if they really get active, because everything right now is based on the oil dollar. It's known as the petrodollar, okay? And eventually, that's going to go by the wayside, and everything, I think, is going to go to gold and silver in a mixed basket. Just my guess, okay? So you watch what Buffett's doing, okay? And they said back in August, when discussing Buffett's ongoing liquidation of his Bank of America stake, we said Berkshire's rising cash stockpile merely reflects the firm's inability to find deals in today's overvalued and weak economic environment. He knows how to make money. So if he's holding his dollars, maybe something's been telegraphed, I don't know how, that B of A wasn't a good bank. Get out of it. And so the 90-year-old Omaha billionaire said, okay, let's liquidate what we can. And let's go ahead and hold the money. And when things finally drop and the prices go way down, then we start buying. The deal is buy low, sell high. And Buffett's always done that. Okay. He's always done that. And so, according to the world's largest conglomerate, they added $48 billion to its cash through harvesting, in other words, selling existing holdings and cash from operations, taking in a record $325.2 billion. So like I said, watch what Warren Buffett does. That's an important thing, okay? It's very important that you watch Warren Buffett. He knows how to make deals. He knows a lot of stuff that a lot of common people don't know or can't figure out. I mean, the guy is really sharp for being what? I believe he's 94 years old. And he likes dreamsicles. Okay, so he's a little eccentric. He's made money. He owns Burlington Northern Railway. Okay. He's got a Berkshire Hathaway investments, and a lot of other companies. I mean, he's up there. He knows his stuff. So, like I said, watch Warren Buffett, watch Vanguard, and watch BlackRock. Maybe one of these days I'll do a show breaking those three down, because they're intertwined to a lot of different companies. Wow. Oh, there was some news that came out today about D.R. Horton. Now, that kind of brings up something that Horton originally wanted to build about 200 homes and 174, I believe, condominiums and so forth in this local area where I live. And it was to the point where we didn't know how good their business was and so forth. And a lot of people were asking questions. When you see it, I put it up there. D.R. Horton stock sinks on fourth quarter earnings and they missed their revenues. Well, here's a video you need to watch, and it'll explain it.
Look at D.R. Horton missing estimates for fourth quarter earnings and revenue. The home builder also forecasting 2025 revenue and home deliveries below expectations. The company saying mortgage rate volatility and also uncertainty are keeping some buyers on the sidelines. We've really seen that play out in the activity here this fall. You're looking at a drop, though, of just around 13.5% here ahead of the open. You would think the election uncertainty, just anecdotally, I've been hearing that has been playing also into some of the, I guess, sluggish activity that we have been seeing in the housing market. And of course, the question going forward, just how much further improvement, meaning lower rates, we could potentially see in the mortgage market, on mortgages, and just the extent of what that needs to be, the level in which it needs to drop to in order to really spur extra activities. And I think we're going, it's almost going to be a wait and see type of situation until we get to that spring selling season.
Yeah, spot on. Here's that sexy stat for you from the home building market. Nearly a quarter of prospective first-time home buyers are holding off until after the election. That coming from a Redfin survey here. You think about the backlog of homes as well here that the company is trying to move through. And as of the end of this quarter, we should note as well, the company had 37,400 homes in inventory, of which 25,700 were unsold here. Now, 10,300 of the company's unsold homes by the end of September were completed, about 1,100 completed for greater than 6 months. So this really comes back to some of the both rate side, but also just buyers who are out there right now, and at least according to this Redfin survey here and some of the data there, personal finances and timing are the most common reasons cited for delaying a home purchase. Other reasons, including future interest rate cuts, immigration policies, and affordable housing initiatives as well, those are all playing into the psyche for some of the first-time home buyers out there who are waiting until after the election, coming back to your point earlier.
Yeah. And it's the rates. You know, say some people are saying, well, it's like 7%. Other people are saying, well, it's 6%. The banks don't want to lend money if they don't have to right now because it's very touchy. I walked into one of the banks I go to, and they had a sign, if you want to make large withdrawals, talk to our management. Now, what does that tell you? They also had another sign that says, if you're buying cryptocurrency, we don't deal in cryptocurrency. What does that tell you? And it's a good solid bank. But that's posted right in the front door. One of these days I'll go in there and I'll see if I can take a picture of that sign, okay? I won't show the bank. I won't show people in the lobby. I just want one picture of that sign. If they let me do it, that's fine. But something's wrong with the banking industry. You know, I was driving around town, and we used to have a U.S. bank here. I drove by, and the windows were all shuttered, and they had the blinds down, and the sign was painted over. They didn't have their ATM or anything. There was nothing there, and U.S. Bank is a good bank. Maybe that branch just wasn't profitable, and they decided to close it. Other places are doing the same thing. So I'm telling you, something is up in the financial world. And with D.R. Horton, I don't think that they want to build a whole bunch of houses and just have them sit idle because they want to turn them over. So the cash goes through. It's a cash flow issue. Okay. So that's something. Have you noticed restaurants lately? You know, I went to a favorite place of mine that I go frequently, and I went there, and new owners took over, and we have new menus, and the staff have all these little electronic gizmos now that they don't have to write the orders down. They can just put them on the tablets and send them in, and they're trying to get used to that. But I looked at the prices, and the prices suddenly went up. And I'm looking at these high prices and I'm going, holy cow, I didn't think food cost was that high. I figured that when the new owner took over, they'd probably raise it 10 or 15%, but that wasn't the case. A lot higher, okay? And so when I was paying $12, and that included iced tea, which is a cheap item, a toasted cheese sandwich, and a small bowl of soup was, I believe, $12.86. And now it's $16. And you look around in the restaurant, and you knew when it was packed. but now there are less people. And I think the new owners didn't understand that you do price increases gradually. You don't make big changes in the menu. I'm not going to get into the consulting business, but I did a lot of restaurant development, okay? And I'm telling you, they may have had to do that for a certain reason, but they lost their customer base. Today, they were busy. But during the week, they're not, because of the pricing structure and some of the choices that they made as far as food choices. Oh, don't get me started on that. Well, anyhow, guys, there's an official thing about a restaurant chain that is going to be in bankruptcy. And I think you're going to start seeing a lot of it. And let's talk about this one. Report came out and this chain is bankrupt. Ooh, that looks delicious. That looks like a nice big mushroom, a steak, and oh, sweet potato fries. Oh my God. What? Anyhow, pardon me, the thing came out, bad news for fans of the $5 happy hour. TGI Fridays announced in an official statement on Saturday that the company has filed for voluntary Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in a Texas federal court. And Ronhit Machoa, executive chairman of TGI Fridays Incorporated, cited the pandemic as one of the major forces working against the once hugely popular chain. Court documents indicate that the company owes between $100 million and $500 million at to the least 1,000 and as many as 5,000 creditors. And it states the primary driver of our financial challenges result from COVID-19 and our capital structure. Manocha said, guess what? Whoever came up with the COVID situation killed a lot of businesses. It was great that they raised the rates for the pay rates for the employees, but when you do that, then the company has to make another adjustment, because they have to make a profit and they have investors. So obviously things didn't go well. Well, anyhow, the news might not be a total surprise to Friday customers, as the company has been shuttering stores throughout 2024, including 36 locations in January and another 49 stores in October. And this new development will affect the remaining 39 domestic restaurants owned and operated by TGI Friday's parent company. And it was a private equity firm, Triartisan Capital Advisors, which is based in Dallas, Texas. Okay. Franchise locations will not be affected. Now, I don't know about you. Years ago, I used to go to TGI Friday's all the time. I liked it. It was really great. And it probably still is. Living in my area, we don't have that many TGI Fridays, okay? But I can see how they're going into bankruptcy. A lot of places are. And I'll tell you what, I've got another one on fast food, too, while we're here. And let me bring that one up, because that one is another restaurant chain, okay? And we need to check on that one. This one, I think everybody knows this one. Matter of fact, I knew the founder of the company. Guess who it was? Dave Thomas.
Food chain Wendy's is closing 140 more restaurants as part of a push to update its locations.
The fast food chain plans to close these restaurants before the end of the year, on top of another 100 it would close in May. But the company says those closures will be offset by new restaurant openings. The president and CEO says the locations that are closing are underperforming and many are outdated. Wendy's did not provide a list of restaurants that will be closed.
Yeah. Wendy's. And the thing of it is, you end up with restaurants that are big name restaurants. And sometimes, you know, when they do restaurant development, you think you're going to be in a specific area where you know there's going to be a lot of traffic and things are really going to be good. And you spend the investment, which might mean $1 million or maybe $2 million for a restaurant, and then your staffing and everything else, and you want to go ahead and hope you make it there. And you sign maybe a 20-year lease on the land, or you rent the property and so forth, and you think that you're going to make it. And when you do your profit and loss statement, and finally it gets down to the very end, okay, we used to call it before other, and then we had after other, and that was in the profit and loss statement. But it was your bottom line. How much money did you make that week? How much money did you make that month? Can you make your sales goals that you projected on paper? Okay. Wow. A lot of restaurants are having problems. Now, here's one in Cincinnati. And a lot of people have heard of the Big Boy sandwich, okay? Well, Big Boy in Cincinnati, actually in Kentucky, has a problem. And WLWT out of Cincinnati brought this one up. So I'm going to play this video for you.
A local staple for decades is shutting down multiple locations. Frisch's will be closing the doors of 5 of their restaurants.
Yeah, this is leading to questions as to why. WLWT News 5's Chris Jacobs is live in Spring Grove Village with more on the closings. Chris?
Yeah, well, this Spring Grove Village location is just one of 5 that has now closed their doors for good, and they haven't even stopped there. They've already put the master lock with the chains on it, and you can see the signs that tell you the restaurant is permanently closed. Now, we did reach out to a spokesperson with Frisch's, and they did confirm these closures, though they didn't give us an exact reason as to why. Now, the locations that are closing, they're the ones on Galbraith Road, this Spring Grove Village location that we're at right now, the one on Dixie Highway and Erlinger, another in Covington, and a spot in Dayton. Now, we were at some of these locations earlier today. We did see some people trying to get in, unaware of these abrupt closures. And some of these spots even had moving trucks in the parking lot, just clearing things out. The retail group handling the closures released a statement today saying Frisch's did close these locations, but they're owned by an investment group who controls the properties separate from Frisch's. As commercial real estate brokers, the landlord recently engaged us as a listing agent to market these properties for sale and or lease to find a solution to the vacancies. Now, again, no reason was given for these closings, but one person at the Erlinger location said he wasn't even aware this was happening and was actually just there last week to get some food. Again, we did reach out to Frisch's, but they did not want to comment on any of these closings. Reporting live in Spring Grove Village, Chris Jacobs, WLWT News 5.
Yeah, WLWT, yeah, Cincinnati. And I'll tell you what, I used to go by their studios quite a bit when I worked in Cincinnati. And that's when Jerry Springer was there in his blue Bentley. I walk by it every day. And restaurants can be tough to run, okay? They can be very tough to run. And you have to know what you're doing as far as marketing and product development and everything else, okay? And those locations that we're talking about, Springdale, that's a lot of industrial there that has probably gone downhill. And it's not far from a big cemetery there. And other locations, in Cincinnati. And in some cases, I've heard reports that some franchisees had problems paying their rent. I don't know. That's just what I've heard. And things can get tough there. And so, you know, that's what happens. Okay. But for a restaurant developer, you have to have it in the right spot. Well, guess what? I've got another one here that I want to bring up and just point out, and you can go to our website and actually see it. But it's Medicare time again. And I have that story posted. So you want to check that out. And here it is, Medicare open enrollment, how to add or adjust your coverage. And you can go to our website and see it. It was done by Kaz Wida. Okay. And they were talking about different things. Okay. And on how you adjust things. And you take a look at October 15th to December 7th. It's open enrollment period. And then they have advantages January 1 to 31st. And your provider's choice, out of pocket, what you're going to have to pay. And includes prescription drug coverage. And does it have dental and so forth? You really have to check into that. And you have to take a look at your costs, okay? How much is out of pocket? And that's an important thing. And so you can check that out on moneyandchange/financiallyprepped, okay? And you can take a look at that. I've got that article there. You know, you have Part A, which is inpatient. Hospice and home health care, medically necessary and preventative services, Medicare Advantage, which I have and I like it, okay, but it does have its limitations. Part D, prescription drug coverage, okay, and then what Medicare doesn't cover. Now here, it doesn't cover eye exams and prescription eyewear, doesn't cover cosmetic surgery or massage or chiropractic therapy. Hearing aids, concierge medicine. In other words, you pay a doctor so much a month and you can use them anytime. And dental care. I'm lucky with the one that I've got because I have eye exams and eyewear. I have chiropractic therapy and treatment. I can get hearing aids. I can get dental care. And all I do with mine is I pay for it up front and I submit a scanned copy of the bill for payment to the insurance provider and they pay me back in 3 days. It's great. Okay, but it depends on your provider. Okay, so you want to check on Medigap and stuff like that. Okay, but the article's there at moneyandchange/financiallyprepped. Okay, that's an important thing. Okay, so you want to check that out. Well, guys, that's about all I've got. But, you know, hey, are you looking for a job? That's one thing I wanted to talk about looking for a job, because a lot of people are doing that. You have to be sensible about that, okay? And let's see if I can show you this one. Maybe you can find the source on Yahoo. Now, here's the show. It's 6 minutes long. I can't go over it, but anyhow, here's what they're saying. And I'll try to get it to the back there, back to the beginning, so I can get it to stop. Doesn't want to stop. Okay.
Jobs were created in October. That is the slowest pace since late 2020. Now, if you're in the market for a new job, it might feel crowded and difficult to land that gig that you've been looking for. To discuss how you can stand out from the pool of applicants, we've got Andrew McCaskill, who is a career expert at LinkedIn, joining us. Andrew, great to have you here with us in studio. Yes. So, I mean, I got to sprint over to the desk for this one, because as we're thinking about the jobs market right now and the challenges that are facing employees who are trying to get into that new gig, how can they make sure that they are equipped going into the interview to put their best foot forward and hopefully get an offer on the other side?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, we talk to hiring managers about all the things that are happening right now, and there are a ton of mistakes that folks are making. I mean, a lot of it goes back to just the old school pre-COVID way of doing business. Number one, the number one reason why a lot of hiring managers say that they're not giving folks offers, people aren't showing up on time for interviews. Like, it's old school stuff, or they're not prepared for the interview.
Wait, time out. Just not showing up on time?
Not showing up on time.
The rule is 15 minutes, right? Get there 15 minutes before.
15 minutes before.
Okay.
If you're at Morehouse, they used to tell us that if you're on time, you're late. If you're early, you're on time, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that those types of things matter. You also have to have a lot of enthusiasm. One of the things that hiring managers are saying is this is an incredibly competitive market. They're tired of people coming in and they're saying that they want a job, not this job, right? And so I think that that's one of the other things. If we learn nothing else from these job numbers, is that it is going to be incredibly competitive for the next couple of years. This is one of the most competitive job markets we've seen. So a lot of the old school things really, really matter. The other thing that you've got to think about too is that level of enthusiasm, you can't discount it. Right. Every point that you have to engage with a recruiter or a hiring manager, you need to be telling them, here's why I am right for this job, because I want to have an impact at your company in this role. People are also not sending the thank you note. The thank you note is not really about thanking them for their time.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, but it's really about you putting one last salvo out there saying, I want this job.
Right.
I can be great at this job. I would love for you to give me a shot at it.
I mean, we were trained in college, handwritten thank you notes, in fact.
Yeah.
And so as we're thinking about the people that might be out there looking for jobs, some are also just looking to make a pivot as well. Mm-hmm. So say it's a position that is outside of the realm that you build up a ton of experience for already, but this is an area that you're passionate about getting into. How can you convey that, hey, you may not meet all of the prerequisites and criteria, but hey, if you wanted to talk to me, there's a reason why I'm here and there's a reason why you're interested. And so let me tell you what I'm willing to learn and do once I get into this role.
The number one, I think that you got to do is network, network, network. If you're looking to pivot to an industry outside of where you are, think about who do I know in that industry and who do I know who knows people who are in that industry. Start there. Have some conversations before you get into that interview process about the industry so that you get better at speaking the language. That is a good cue to folks that you've done a little bit of homework about the industry that you want to pivot to, and you get a chance to learn before you get into the interview.
Well, guys, that's all I've got for this week. Remember, vote your conscience. Make sure you go vote. Make sure that you're prepping, okay? Buy some extra food. I went up to Keystone Meats last week, and I bought some extra cans of meat. Great place, great people, decent prices, okay? So with that, keep on prepping and watch your money, okay? Count your pennies because every penny counts, okay? And with that, guys, it's time to leave. See you.